I'm Daniel Centeno. You're listening to CGRU 1280 AM. This story is part of the Local Journalism Initiative. Several local Toronto businesses have taken different approaches to Black Friday and the holiday season this year. While shoppers anticipate deals and deep discounts, these businesses are relying on community support and the quality of their items to deflect the domination of big box stores and the expectation to compete with fast fashion. Efforts to counter these pressures include boycotting the seasonal discounts completely or promoting the practice to shop small. I had the opportunity to speak with Uncle Otis in West Chinatown, Coffee and Clothing at Pape and Girard, and Ladder Art and Style in The Junction.
My name is Vince Lai. I am the buying director and general manager at Uncle Otis here in Chinatown, Toronto.
The shop was started in 1991 by Roger O'Donnell, the keyboardist for the band The Cure. The name comes from O'Donnell's love for the singer, Otis Redding. Like the previous 3 years during the COVID-19 pandemic, Uncle Otis boycotted Black Friday and thanked its community for the ongoing support. Instead, the shop promoted its community fridges program, where residents can drop off food for those in need. The shop is also taking this time of the year to promote other local businesses around the city as the holidays approach.
Cool. So Vince, the last time we spoke, you talked about boycotting Black Friday, but that was during the height of COVID. How has it been different now that you guys are back in person in the store?
You know what? I don't think it has changed much at all. We're just not participating in it as much as boycotting. And I think it's a great opportunity to use our platform to support other stores and especially other local ones.
Okay, cool. Can you list some of the local ones?
Yeah, of course. So we just did two little features. One for a fishmonger called Affinity Fish. It's with Matt and John. They're great guys. They're using this local sourced fisheries. So local fishermen on the East Coast, and they bring it over here and they do a great job serving. They also have a dining experience, which I have yet to try, but I'm dying to give it a shot. Another one is Laura. She's an architect by day and she's a ceramicist on her days off. Yeah, she's just she's a successful artist in her own right, and you know, she's doing her best to express herself artistically. She has a nice studio by Dundas West. And she doesn't have her own space, but she does supply other stores within the city with her work. I feel like it's important to support these small businesses in order for them to keep coming and to flourish and to be successful. Because the city's all about, you know, doing your best to support while big corporations come in and try and squeeze every ounce of us where there's no individuality left in the city.
Mm-hmm. And that's something I'd like to ask you about. You've talked about how certain local businesses in the city, when Black Friday rolls around, you guys don't want to go on sale. Nobody wants to go on sale. So, what's that like for a local retail business?
I think it hurts them. If they're forced to participate, then it's going to hurt them no matter what. Yeah, for small businesses, it's already tough as it is with rent and margins not being as great, especially before the busiest time of the year where you're expecting your highest traffic and your highest sales. To go on sale now, customers are just expecting you to just be on sale all the way throughout Christmas to Boxing Day. It's not a sustainable plan, especially when all these boutiques are taking the risk to support other individual businesses and independent businesses. Like these small businesses, they have, you know, they operate on smaller factories, they pay their staff fair wages, they source fabrics that are, you know, environmentally friendly, produced in a less damaging way to the environment. And, you know, we all want to believe and we want to create a better environment for the next generation. And it's the small things that we do, but it does make a difference. And whether people choose to participate in that, it's up to them. We don't force it, but we can only do so much on our end. And if people, unfortunately, only want to buy on sale, which is their choice, it's fine. It means that we reduce the amount that we buy from that brand because it doesn't perform if it only sells on sale. And if we buy less, chances are maybe that brand may not be successful in the future. It affects them, it affects the families who work at those factories, and they can't get a fair wage and they can't survive. So, you know, every choice has repercussions, and whether it's good or bad, it's ultimately up to the customer. We can only do as much as we can.
You've mentioned community support for Uncle Otis. I think you also put on your Instagram Universal Works and how they're also bypassing Black Friday. What does it kind of mean for you to carry that brand that also kind of has that same vision?
You know what? I think it's huge. I mean, this is the first season or first year that they've stepped away from Black Friday. And I think it just affirms to what we're doing. It just validates what we're doing, just supporting other people. And that's what community is, whether it's in Birmingham, London, Toronto, Montreal, Vancouver. We're all doing our best to support the people we care about. I've been fortunate to be dealing with them. I think I've been at the shop for 8 years. I've been buying for about maybe 6 or 7. And we have such a lovely relationship. Every season we get to work on special projects together. It's very natural. The product, it speaks for itself. Just like they say, it's a fair price for a great product. Fun designs, great people. Even their team is fantastic.
Now that everything's back into in-person, we're away from all the restrictions of COVID last time we spoke. How does Uncle Otis continue to kind of foster that community of supporters that kind of have that same vision as you, that they want to buy quality materials at a fair price rather than fast fashion?
I think it just boils down to education. Just to educate your consumer and to let them know what's happening behind the scenes, to make them a part of the process. I don't think much has changed in terms of our customer service and dealing with customers. We ultimately do our best to treat everybody the same and to provide that same level of service to everybody, no matter who opens that door and comes through, or even reaches out online, whether they're shooting us a message on Instagram or giving us an email. We like to respond as earnestly as possible and, you know, share a positive energy. The only thing we can say is that we want to our buy to speak for itself, and we want to showcase that, you know, clothing can exhibit a personality. It doesn't always have to have a functional aspect to it.
So we've talked a lot about the longtime supporters, but how do you kind of translate that message to a new customer, for example?
Of course. I think it's a matter of coming to an understanding of what the product is. And look, our product is expensive. Not everyone can afford everything, myself included. You know, I have to pick what I really like from the store and go from there. I'm very fortunate that I'm in this industry where I can have access to these garments. But, you know, I started off as a fan, just every season building my collection. And that's what I would actually say to people starting off new is, buy one or two pieces that you really like for the season, build your wardrobe. I think the best thing to actually think about is as an investment. You're investing a little bit more money into a quality garment that'll last you a long time.
So also along with your overall, like, I guess, message towards community support, there's also been the community fridges, I think mm-hmm. you also said. Can you tell me more about that, please?
Yeah, I mean, within our community, and I've had some great customers who are strong advocates of supporting the community. Joy, she's a lovely customer of ours. She's been shopping with us for years, for the whole family. I've gotten to know them personally. Our families are close. We work together quite often. But she's been a major inspiration in my life. Just using what she can, what platform she has, to support the community. And community fridges is a wonderful thing where they have, it's a system set up by the community, and they set up fridges and pantries across the city. And you know, it's an honor system where people who are in need can have access to it and can take what they want and leave some for the next people. And it's citizens or community members like yourself, the listeners, or myself, to donate what they can and what they can afford to, especially in this time where food prices have gone up. I think that the food bank usage is up like 200%. So it's quite drastic. And yeah, it's the community itself is doing what it can to support, but it takes a lot more people to join in to make it successful.
So I guess right now we are in the city, but we're not in the core. We're kind of away from the malls. It's a lot of local businesses in this area. What would you like to tell listeners about Chinatown, about Uncle Otis, about still supporting these places despite gentrification?
I think gentrification is unfortunately a natural process, you know, being squeezed out of rent. And then that was our story, being kind of forced to leave our previous home in Yorkville. But I'm happy to be a part of Chinatown. Such a rich culture, you know, that every day is something new, something different. It's so dynamic. We're right beside Kensington Market. There's a lot of great food, amazing produce. I think St. Andrew, I think it's the Kensington Fruit Market on St. Andrew. That's where I love to pick up my produce. It's so fresh. And they keep getting featured consistently because as a small independent grocer, it's tough to survive in the midst of big box stores. But, you know, it's possible. We can make it work. And it's just up to the community to support each other.
Coffee and Clothing opened shop in 2018. Its first location at 348 Pape Avenue specializes in the coffee, while the newer second location at 841 Girard is geared towards the vintage clothing with a strong focus on military surplus and workwear. Co-owner Matt Sechtebeck is one of the key players in sourcing the shop's clothing. He speaks about the importance of community support and shopping small, especially for family-owned businesses like his own.
Yeah, my name is Matt Sechtebeck. I'm one of the owners of Coffee and Clothing. Me and my wife, Jen, who are the owners of the clothing side, we both met in San Francisco. And Jen was actually born here in Toronto, and we came to visit back in like early 2010. And we kind of fell in love with the city and realized there was an opportunity to like kind of bring our style of vintage to Toronto. And so we decided to move here to open a vintage store. It took us a couple of years to get going. We did a bunch of markets and smaller, like the little flea market, just to kind of get off the ground. And then people kept asking us to open a store. And then around the same time, Jen's sister-in-law, Gabby, her and her boyfriend at the time, Zoe, they moved to Toronto as well from Korea and Indonesia. And they fell in love with roasting coffee. And so they were going to open a cafe. And I was like, well, let's just do it together. And so we all talked about, you know, came up with the idea how we could do it together. And so that's kind of the origins of it. It's kind of grown significantly from there, where we started at a little 800 square foot shop. Cafe now. That's really strictly just coffees as part of Coffee and Clothing. And then we have a bunch of other vendors that actually utilize that space, like a collective of vintage vendors there now. And then we expanded into the bigger space we have on Girard, which is about 2,000 square feet.
Yeah, that's something I'd actually like to ask you about, because I guess during like the height of COVID, you guys are really one of the few places to expand. Can you tell me how that happened?
It kind of just happened by, it's not something we, I mean, not that we didn't plan it, but it's not something that we necessarily were looking to do. It just kind of came about. It wasn't like, you know, we were always looking to expand because the clothing side was expanding, but we just got presented with the opportunity that we couldn't really pass up with the space we have now. And so we just kind of jumped on it. And sometimes, you know, sometimes you got to do that in business where you don't really have it planned out, but you just got to kind of jump on it and go with it. And so that's kind of what happened. But now that space, I mean, we have a barber shop in there, a record shop. We have tattoo artists in the shop now, and a full cafe. So it's kind of, it's allowed us to really build a community space that we wanted to, originally wanted to do with the other space. So it's really like allowed us to do other things.
Mm-hmm. I'm actually interested. Can you tell me more about a lot of the things you said? So like building community that has helped the shop, and you've mentioned like the area itself, your customers, and then a lot of the other vendors have been coming into the store.
Yeah. So, I mean, one of our main goals always with Coffee and Clothing was always to really integrate ourselves in the community, you know, give opportunities to smaller businesses, smaller market, smaller vendors, makers, musicians, artists. We really wanted to become sort of a community hub where you could kind of, you know, come out and get everything you're looking to do at once and kind of spend some time there and really like, but also all of it be very like high end. So like, where everything is like, you know, at the best quality possible. So that's something we've always kind of strived for. And we did, like, at the small shop, we had artists, and we had, before COVID, we had comedy shows and music shows and all that sort of stuff. And then it just kind of allowed us to even do more at the shop we have now.
Mm-hmm. So getting into a bit of the Black Friday questions. Can you tell me more about Shop Small?
So there's been a growth in small businesses really trying to take advantage of not really participating in the Black Friday movement, because it kind of pushes out small businesses, because, you know, our margins are so much smaller. We can't really give huge discounts like a lot of the big box retailers can. But, you know, we can do small things, and we can, you know, really encourage people to like remind them to shop small over the holidays, because those dollars really do matter to the business owners of these stores. I mean, our family, you know, all our income for our family comes from this store. And a lot of small businesses are the same case, where, you know, everything we do in the store is really how, you know, we live day to day, where it's not necessarily the case for a lot of big box retailers. So it's just a reminder to people that just think of, you know, your local businesses when you're going to purchase gifts, when you're going to.
Mm-hmm. So one thing I'm interested in is when you mentioned the big box stores. So, for example, like a potential new customer coming into the shop, how would you communicate, like what you said, like things of the highest quality for the vintage pieces versus buying from, you know, fast fashion?
I mean, it's easier for, I think it's such an easy conversation for us, because a lot of the, most of the pieces we carry at the store are rarely older than 1970s. Most of the stuff we carry is like 1940s and 1970s. So that conversation usually starts around like, look at this piece, looks brand new, but it's, I mean, at this point it's 60 years old and it's only going to last 100, 200 more years from now compared to what you're buying at, you know, at almost the same price, or maybe you're saving a little bit of money, but it's going to maybe last you, you know, 5 years, 5 to 10 years at that, depending on what you're buying. So it's really just starting the conversation of like making sure you're buying quality products, and the way things were made back in the, you know, pre-industrial, before they were like doing mass production of cottons and wools. There were, a lot of them were handmade, or they were, you know, made in small batches. So really the details are taken care of so much more in older garments.
So I guess for this year, for this Black Friday, how has the approach been different or the same compared to the other years when there were a lot of the COVID restrictions?
It's been a little bit different because, you know, we're trying to get people back into the store and feel comfortable shopping again. Whereas the last few years have been mostly pushing online. But yeah, we're going to be, you know, especially with like the makers market, that's something that's we're going to be doing different this year. And then we have a couple Christmas markets coming up in December. So really, like, getting people to come into the store and meet these vendors face-to-face, hear their stories, you know, touch their products. That's a different way we're going to go about it this year than we did in previous years.
All right. Great. Are there, before we go, are there any other final thoughts you'd like to add?
I think especially around the holiday season, it's just really important for people to think about, you know, how they're spending their money and where it's going to, and make sure you do a good search of, you know, what your local small businesses are offering before you head out to Eaton Center or some of the bigger box stores, because you can find a lot of the same products or, you know, more interesting handmade products than you can at some of those stores. So I think just, you know, you gotta take the time, do the research, and I think it's gonna be worthwhile there.
Brian Vu is the owner of Ladder Art and Style in the city's West End. Its focus is on military wear and Brian's own customizations and designs with natural indigo dyes. He acknowledges the passion that goes towards being a business owner, as well as the importance of connections with the people who share the same vision. He wants to look beyond what he calls the corporate gimmicks of unnecessary deep discounts that push out local businesses.
Brian Vu. I have a shop in the Junction called Later Art and Style. My first business was a restaurant, and then I sold that business and I wanted to do something more creatively because that's my background. In terms of study, I study fine arts and style and fashion and texture and art is always more of my love and of my studies.
And how was the name of the shop chosen?
Right. Good question. So my background is Vietnamese. So my heritage is Vietnamese. So the spelling is L-A-T-R-E. So the last three letters, T-R-E, pronounced in Vietnamese is J, which is late. Translation in English is late. So the word later, late, I wanted to connect, and I wanted to use it for that meaning. And late and later is a form of anything generally in life that you do, whether architecture, I guess food, being a chef, being cooking, or doing anything that you worth doing, designing, you take your time. You do it with passion. You do it with joy. The result would always be greater than less. And so the name, that's the meaning of the whole thing. Later, late. And the spelling's all weird because I wanted to connect to my heritage.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. You also mentioned, like, your background in being a creative. What else inspired you to focus on military and workwear?
So military was always my natural, I would say. Ironically, my dad served and he was in the war, Vietnam War, and the uniform, I didn't get it from him or anything, but somehow it's strange. I would be obsessed of the Vietnam uniform. Of course, my dad thought I was just jabbing him because, you know, I just want to bring back the bad memories for him. But he never thought it. That's his size of thinking. But my angle is, I love how simple it is and how natural it is and how functional it is. And that I became obsessed over that kind of uniform. But my dad was opposite. He thought I was just jabbing him and just giving him a hard time when I was a teenager. But no, for some reason I connected that really strongly. And maybe I wanted to also piss off my dad. I don't know, but that was my thing. Military was my first natural thing that I somehow became very attached to that, and especially the Vietnam era uniform. But that's also the time that, you know, that's when my dad was fighting for the country. And yeah, it's just strange, but that's one of the early ideas of my creative internal style.
As an independent business in Toronto, like, what's it like to for you to deal with Black Friday and the big box store discounts?
Yeah, so what we do in small business is it's pretty simple. We're whoever opens a small business or something they love to do, the key word is they love to do it. So we know we're not going to make lots of money, and we know we're not going to be a millionaire, but we know at the end of the day, we could be happy with ourselves, and we could make great connection with really nice people that that appreciate what we do. There's no gimmick. More, if anything, it's the realness, the honesty that you care, and that's why people connect with you, right? As human, you want to make connection, right? And you know, that's usually our angle for small business thinking, right? You just want to do your thing. You don't want to connect to everyone because you're not corporate. You're not mainstream. That's the whole point of having a small business. You just want to be yourself, do what you love, and hopefully connect with the same thinking people that come and support you. And that's why we do what we do. And you know, distraction will always be distraction. Like, Black Friday, Boxing Day, Christmas sale. So as a small business, I don't try to get involved with the trend or what's happening with the seasons of like Black Friday. And so whenever I price anything, I buy anything, or I design anything, I do it with the right intention, which is functional, quality, timeless, and natural, right? So you have those things going for you. And the people that support me, they're aware of shop local, shop small, and just, you know, you should buy, you should eat, and you should live healthy and smartly. And, you know, those are the people that are similar to myself, right? So you don't have to buy everything. You don't have to eat everything. You don't have to, you know what I mean? You just keep it simple, but have high quality. Yeah, you're paying for more, whether food, whether clothes, whether whatever it is that you do. You're buying, but you're buying it fewer, and you're being smarter, and you're supporting your neighbors. You're not supporting companies or, you know, CEO that they don't really live in your neighborhood, or they don't really matter if you make or you don't make, right? So the people you live next to, they kind of matter, because they want to see you do well. They want to see a positive community.
Like you mentioned, that there's the importance of community, especially for the people that know your shop and know your vision.
Mm-hmm.
But how would you kind of communicate this to, for example, like a new customer that
right.
wants to understand the community better, and you want them to know more about the quality and the history of an item versus like the small price tag of a fast fashion item?
Yeah. We're here. We're a specialty store. We're not for everyone, but we're for the right one that are more caring for the environment, caring for small community. We're not logo driven, because we don't want to wear anything logo, because we don't want to advertise unless we want to, or unless they're paying us, but we don't want to be paid for the negative reason. So we're just here because of people that understand what we do. But yes, once in a while, I have somebody randomly walk in and then blown away. That does happen. But in general, it's some kind of degree of connection, you know? The other part is, it happens, but not as often. But I would say more some kind of connection with a community or a family member or a friend of a best friend, or some kind of connection of some kind of degree of connection. That's more, that's why it took me so long to spread my idea, my name, because I didn't want to pay for marketing. I wanted, but at the same time, I knew that I had to be patient. And I had to, but like anything you know, that you do, as you know, anything that happened organically, it's better, of course, but it takes time. You can't rush that, right? And when it happened organic and natural, that's the best, right? Where people are very taken by your idea because they feel the same vibe or they understand the same vibe.
And you mentioned also like with the area itself at the junction, the customers,
yep.
And just kind of like overall them exploring the shop. Can you tell me more about that one, please?
Okay. So like everywhere in any big city, more development is happening everywhere, even small pockets. Bronte, now the junction, and then the junction triangle is coming as well. So ironically, all these small pockets were once lower in rent and very creative because that's where the artists and small independent were more affordable. But as any big city or any community that gets more hyped or gets more cleaned up, you know, LCB goes in, Starbucks goes in, other big company comes in. That's because they have a marketing scheme. They're paying for someone to see this projection and everything, right? So, of course, they'll be in here. And it's all about numbers with these people. But at the same time, the lesser creative artists, they can't afford because everything comes to a point where they're being pushed out. So the junction and any bigger pocket of the city are highly developed with new condos, homes, and everything. And on Dundas, now there's so much strip of condos and development that's happening as we speak. So the neighborhood knows this. They're just hoping that the condos people are building are more, they're thinking more about small communities, which has happened. So you get these corporate companies that are not too bullying. They don't make that high of a rise. They make it lower, and they try to have interesting connection with the people already living here. So they would get their input in terms of development. So one of the developments I noticed is like they want to get more warm, so they're getting more wood instead of concrete.
Mm-hmm. I guess like overall right now, you know, we're slowly getting out of COVID and a lot of its restrictions.
Yep.
So what it's kind of been like for the shop now compared to maybe last year?
Yeah, so I don't know. This is like a very frustrating for small business owners because certain time, as you recall, small business shop, specialty shop, we weren't allowed to open, but the big corporation shops were allowed, Costco, Walmart. So they specialize in everything, of course. So they, clothing, selling flour, selling food. Small independent shop were doing that individually of their own specialty. They weren't allowed, but, you know. But then we know that there's lineups at Costco, and there's always a lineup at Walmart when everything was shutting down. So, yeah, we weren't feeling good about it, but we know how things work. But it has gotten better for sure. At the same time, people are more aware, you know, since they're, I feel like because of the lockdown too, that people have rethink about everything, right? Work, how to get to work, or work from home, how to like eat better, how to exercise without going to the gym. So they're doing more natural stuff. So there are positive of the lockdown and stuff for community, especially small community. So they're realizing more and more that what matters more, what's important more, which is like local and people that actually that are your neighbor and that are actually doing something for the better and not really focus about the numbers. But they're more about the connection of each other. And, you know, one of the major trends that's happening is good, but corporations getting their finger in it is the upcycling thing, right? The upcycling, not wasting, zero waste, and making more of what's already on the planet. So we always been doing that, but now it's trending. So So it's funny how whatever's trending, the corporation people would always take a jab in that area too, because they want to be in the trend, of course. But it's all about people realizing what's important, and they're thinking more for small business now, more than before, I think.
With the holiday season in full swing, Uncle Otis, Coffee and Clothing, and Ladder Art and Style hope consumers remember to shop local and assess the quality of an item versus the price, especially when it comes to the temptations of fast fashion. Each store will continue its community outreach to customers and fellow businesses in the city, both online and in-store. I'm Daniel Centeno. You're listening to CGRU 1280 AM. This story is part of the Local Journalism Initiative,